Hello, Brad here. Just to say we're super proud that the Friday 5pm podcast is sponsored by the Malt Miller, the UK's best home brew store.
We use the Malt Miller for all of our homebrew experiments, as well as tapping them up for advice and binging on their awesome YouTube channel all the time.
That's why whenever we release a homebrew video, we put a recipe kit live on the Malt Miller, so you can brew with the exact same amazing ingredients that we did. The same ingredients used by pro brewers.
So alongside the Malt Miller's nitro-flushed hops, cold-stored yeast and milled-to-order malts, you can pick up recipe kits for our 5 Points Best Bitter, Russian River West Coast IPA, and now the fastest beer in the world, a hazy session IPA that goes from grain to glass in less than 48 hours.
Sign up to their newsletter at tinyurl.com/Malt Miller to get 5% off your first order. With the Malt Miller's amazing customer service and Johnny's 48-hour recipe, you could order the ingredients on a Monday and be drinking the beer by the weekend.
Speaking of which, it's Friday.
It's 5pm.
So enjoy this week's Friday 5pm podcast. Geeks, we are back. I've got a new cardigan on, which has caused quite a splash. I'm in a freezing Brudio, which is why I'm wearing my cardigan. It was a balmy 3 degrees when I walked in. It's reached 7 now. And Friday 5pm is back. How are we doing, Bradders?
I'm all right, man. Happy New Year.
And to you.
Happy new baby. Both in terms of your actual baby and our Brudio that we've brewed over this festive period.
Are you equating a shed to a newborn life?
It's not a shed. Stop calling it a shed. It's a brewery.
Yeah.
It's a studio. It's an all singing, all dancing.
And it's a goddamn fridge this morning.
Yeah, it's a fridge. It's the lagering area as well.
I do have a lagering tank right now, and it's too cold for the lagering. I'm trying to ferment at 12, and at 7 degrees, that's no fun.
Oh dear.
So the old heating on the Grainfather Chronicle is working, it's blipping happily. So everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm complaining about the Brudio, but I shouldn't. It's beautiful, and I've got some delicious sun coming through my double glazed windows. And actually, yesterday I had a rare sighting of the unique black squirrel.
Black squirrel, really?
Do you know about the black squirrel?
I mean, I've seen black squirrels, but what you got to tell me about black squirrels, Johnny?
Well, black squirrels are a rare variety of squirrel, and they are native to Herefordshire. Herefordshire? That's not where you live. Hertfordshire. They escaped from, I believe it was New York Zoo.
Oh.
And got on a boat and made it over here. So now we have a small population of black squirrels in Hertfordshire.
So they're not native, it's not a recessive gene or anything. They're literally a subspecies that have...
Yeah.
That are pirate squirrels, and they captain the boat from the New
exactly.
World back to Europe. To
yeah, strapped on
over.
His wooden leg and his eye patch, got on a boat and found himself in, well, near Hitchin.
To take they came all that way, and then they decided to take over a neighbourhood in Hertfordshire. Great.
Yep. Yeah. And he's a ballsy little guy. There's a tree that's just outside the Brudio that he's always running along, and he stares at me.
Nice.
Just another way in which I procrastinate. Anyway, that's me taking us on a tangent. What a way to start the new year.
Exactly.
With a complete turnaround.
Everything's changed.
I've really missed doing Friday 5pms. It's been, the last one we did was, I think, the 23rd of November.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. It's been a while. But there's been a fair bit going on. So it's fair enough, I think, that we took a little hiatus. I've definitely missed it as well. It's just good to have a bit of human contact, you know, like mid-pandemic still. I thought we'd be well over the pandemic by now, so it's, you know, just nice to have
Didn't
a chat.
We all, yeah. And I've, you know, I'm because I've got a new kid and I'm not really going to bed anymore, I've already lost kind of my reference point for what bloody day it is. And I could have really appreciated a Friday 5pm, like a reminder text from you, like on a Friday morning going like, when are we recording the pod? And I'm like, wait, what? It's Friday? What day is this? And that would have really helped, because I'm already lost on what day it is, and now it's worse. So now that we've got it back, I'm going to at least know what days are Fridays.
Well, that's something, Johnny. If that's all the help I can be to you, then great. I'm glad that it gives you some sort of check-in on your week and, you know, Me too, man. Me too. It's difficult keeping track, right?
It can be. It can be. When you're freelancers who don't really go out anymore, it can be. But we did go out yesterday together, you and I. We had our first shoot day of the year.
We did.
And we recorded a video all about pastry sours and, of course, our big episode, which is big in 22. This one, 2022, this one, in which I've just put it all into Final Cut to start editing. It's over 40 minutes of nonsense, which I have to condense down into under 20.
Christ.
So there's going to be some darlings killed, I'm afraid.
There was, we talked for 20 minutes about big in 2021 stuff, so you can cut a lot of that, I'm sure. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, it's gold. It's all gold. Everything we shoot is, of course, gold.
Just put it all out unedited, I reckon. Give people what they want, Johnny.
Do you know, it's been really interesting. Every year we send out a survey to our viewers, and that survey's still live. We're going to keep it live until Sunday. So I'll put a link if you want to fill that in, listeners. You can go in, tell us what you want to see more from the Craft Beer Channel, what you want to see less of. Tell us a little bit about what you thought of 2021 in the beer industry. There's some questions in there. But I've been looking through the responses, and the world is so divided these days. It's absolutely amazing. Like, we've got like 10 comments saying your videos are too long, and then 10 comments going, your videos are too short.
Yeah.
So what we're supposed to do with that, I'm not quite sure.
Well, we're gonna become TikTok sensations, like I was discussing with you. So
you keep saying this, Brad. I'm not sure TikTok's my format.
Well, you know, if it can work for a train spotter, then it can work for a couple of beer geeks potentially.
Yeah, I guess they are even geekier than us, so maybe there is a way to make it work. If anybody understands TikTok, let us know. We could do with some help. I've never been on it. I have no idea really what it is. The only time I see it is when people put TikTok videos on Twitter, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my kind of experience as well, is like people putting TikTok stuff on Instagram. I think it's for people that are demanding shorter content. TikTok, from my understanding, again, I haven't actually downloaded the app either. Maybe I'll do that today, Johnny.
New Year's resolution for you.
Make less good content that's just like throwaway on TikTok.
You know, there is also, like, we keep talking about TikTok, but there is YouTube Shorts as well, which is their attempt to rival TikTok. And we haven't even played with that. But I follow a bunch of, basically, you can make a business out of talking about YouTube business. And I follow lots of these channels, and they're all like, you know, you're not going to grow in 2022 unless you're using YouTube Shorts. I really hope that's not true.
Well, I mean, how long can a short be? Is it a minute or is it less?
It's 30 seconds.
Shit, that's pretty short, isn't it?
Yeah.
You could maybe just, what could we do? We could torpedo a beer and then do a 10-second review of it. I don't know what you could do in 30 seconds. I could probably do
I mean, I quite like that idea. It's probably not. Yeah, I reckon you could. You could do a lowbrow in 30 seconds.
But then why would anyone watch the long format ones? I'd be shooting myself in the foot.
Well, because of your wonderful way of presenting, the tangents you go on, the fun that you have.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right.
Content is still king.
Okay, cool. Maybe.
This has turned into a content meeting for the Craft Beer Channel rather than a podcast.
Shorts.
Exactly. But there is a section of in the survey where you can put things that you want to see. If you've got any ideas for shorts, just email us on craftbeerboys@gmail.com or stick it in the survey, because we'd love some thoughts. We want to reach new audiences. We want to keep growing. and, you know, if you just want us to see us shotgunning cans and then burping our way through a review, which is actually what most of BeerTube is, then let us know.
I love it. I can't wait, Johnny. I can't wait for this new trajectory. No editing.
That's true. That's
think how many 30-second clips we could make in like an hour, let alone a day. Like we filmed two videos yesterday, which is pretty good going. Think how many shorts we could film in a day. Wow.
This summer, I'm going to be hosting talks at the Manchester, Bristol and London Craft Beer Festivals, giving festival goers the chance to attend tutored tastings, rare beer pours, meet the brewers and even guided tours of the bars. These three festivals are the highlights of my events calendar, featuring some of the world's best breweries with delicious restaurant pop-ups, great music, and a really welcoming party atmosphere. It's the third year I've been hosting the We Are Beer Tastings table, but for the first time, I'm delighted to offer all of our listeners, viewers, and Patreons £5 off a ticket when you use the code CBC5. Just hit the link in the description to buy. See you there. It's, yeah, that's it. We're done. We're now a 30-second YouTube channel. We're going to travel the world, but only make 30-second videos.
And we'll just, we could probably do a year's work in a day or two days and then just have a whole schedule to upload to Shorts.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible, I'm sure, but, you know, if that's what...
We've had it all wrong.
We've had it all wrong, yeah.
We also, I saw about this lady who's been selling her farts in a jar for... Yeah. Nearly $1,000 a time, and I was thinking we got our Patreon perks all wrong.
I heard she was in hospital with her fart thing. She was trying to fart too hard, and her diet
I think it was the diet. Diet she put herself on.
She got really bad, sort of, well, trapped wind essentially.
I mean, she must have been uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah. I guess so, but I mean, if you're making £37,000 a week, bottling up your guffs, then
oh my God,
you know, I could probably tolerate a bit of discomfort. I mean, you know, a post shoot day, Johnny, I don't feel massively comfortable if I've drunk a load of beers. Maybe we're missing.
We
a
can
trip
finally
there.
Introduce smell-o-vision. It's like, yeah, you know, here's what came out of this shoot.
Yeah, man. Especially if we've been
Brad,
drinking.
I regret that we've gone down this now. It's just sort of hit home what we're talking about.
It's kind of gross.
Oh, this might hit the cutting room floor. I'm not sure. right. Well, I guess we should talk about actual beer for a bit, seeing as this is supposedly a beer podcast. We've started as we mean to go on. So, yesterday we were tasting loads of exciting beers. We were including beers from Dig, from Elusive, and then from some old classics as well. And then we did some pastry sours, which when we started recording it, I was a bit skeptical. I thought I wasn't going to enjoy the beers, but actually I enjoyed all three of them. So it should be a good video.
Yeah, man. They're bloody awesome. The Dig, I'm literally looking at a can of the Dig that we had yesterday right now. I don't think I'm going
to
crack it.
You buy one to take home?
I bought one to take home because I enjoyed it that much. Yeah. Dig,
good Lord.
Dig Brew 2319 Sour Ale that was... can I tell the people what's in it?
Yeah.
Doesn't spoil it, does it? Fruit Sour Ale. Sour Ale brewed with Himalayan salt and conditioned with raspberries and vanilla. So we kept saying sea salt, Himalayan sea salt, although I'm pretty sure the Himalayas are landlocked.
And also, like, by the very definition of the Himalayas, is it's kind of the opposite of the sea almost.
Yeah,
maybe the sky is the opposite of the sea, but it's pretty close.
It's rock salt as well, isn't it? It's not like
it's
a totally different thing. It's like a mineral they dig it out of the ground kind of thing. Well, not totally different.
Exactly.
It's still sodium, but it's pink. So it was a wonderful color and an absolutely amazing punchy flavor that was just like really well balanced. It was great. It was so nice summertime drinking. I think it'd be amazing, but even in the winter I thought it was incredible, so loved it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so that'll be coming out in a couple of weeks, and obviously the big in 2022 is next week's video, but we should talk about this week's video.
Which
was a solo effort from me, in which I just sort of wanted to introduce what we were planning to do for the year to try and get some ideas into the comments. And thank you everyone that did put some ideas in there. They've all gone into a pot, and Brad and I are going to be going through them and picking out the best ones, which hopefully we'll shoot. But also it was an introduction to what we've got planned. Loads more cast content, loads more British content, but also hopefully some travel. And we're already looking at flights for our first abroad trip, which is one that we've been planning and wanting to do for years and years, which is why it's top of the list, and it will tie into our homebrew content, and it's pastry stout based. So I think you can all probably guess where we might be headed.
That's a lot of clues there, Johnny. A lot of clues.
It was. I'm not very good at teasing. I just sort of give the answer. That's what teasing is, right? Otherwise, it's just trolling. It's a fine line.
It is a fine line. It is a fine line. I feel like you might have overstepped it there, but we quite often overstep the mark when it comes to stuff like that. So, hey, it's all good.
There we go, yeah. So we did have lots of lovely comments. Really pleased to see the interaction on that. Bradley, what was your favourite?
Yeah, so one of my favourites I picked out was because I feel like it's quite relevant to a lot of the content we are going to be making this year. And that was from CMV. He said, British beer tour by region or county, telling us what is unique about that region when it comes to the type of beer that they brew and why they brew that type of beer. So I think, you know, we kind of touched upon this already with our kind of real ale series that we did with Fuller's in 21. And we kind of want to expand on that. And, you know, regionality, I think, is very special, and it's kind of what makes our kind of, you know, brewing tradition and culture in this country quite unique, I think. Around, well, actually there's lots of regional brewing styles and whatever, but we got lots of them, right, Johnny?
Yeah, well, I think all the sort of what in wine would be referred to as the old world brewing nation, so the UK, Belgium, Germany, Czech Republic, maybe Norway, they have lots of regionality in them, because obviously, regionality in beer, and I talk about this in my book quite a bit, would have come from the fact that you'd have been using local ingredients rather than being able to bring in hops from all over the world and stuff. So the nations that were brewing lots back then will have that regionality. And, you know, as we're going to get onto with this week's question, you know, bitter tastes different all over the country, whether it's Manchester, Leeds, London, Sussex, Bristol. You know, they've all got slightly different views on what a bitter should taste like, what ingredients go in, what hops go in, where they come from. And I think that's something we have slightly neglected in our content, because we've been trying to be so global, because we've been so in love with, you know, for us, regionality has been like, oh, American-style beer is usually very hoppy. English-style beer is usually on cask, and it's sort of bittersweet. And then Germany, well, they're great at lager and Weissbier, and the Czech Republic is lagery as well. And we haven't really delved a lot deeper than that. And I hope that, you know, something we've learned through the pandemic and being stuck in England is that we've learned to look for that regionality. So definitely, I'd like to do more in the UK and indeed when we go abroad to try and tease that out.
Yeah, man, 100%. Isn't it great? So, yeah. I think we've done nearly 500 videos, and we are still sort of only scratching the surface in a lot of respects. Kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is unreal that you can do that. And, you know, maybe I'd write off the first 100 videos, but certainly 400 great videos involving lots of travel that haven't, yeah, really scratched the surface. And there's, you know, the joy of beer for me and why I keep coming back to it is the fact that I probably haven't had my favourite beer yet. Although it could be Allagash White or it could be Pilsner Urquell, we don't know. But I'm going to keep trying and see if I do find it eventually. My comment, like I said at the start of this podcast, my cardigan caused a splash. There were quite a few comments about the cardigan. Clearly, it's a slightly left-field choice for me, and that's why it's standing out. But somebody said, that cardigan is the final piece of the dad brewing in the shed vibe. It's not a shed. It is a shed. But yeah, I got this cardigan. It's from Fat Face, if they want to throw me some more cardigans. But I wanted something that I could wear with a shirt, you know, layer up my shirt look. And in doing so, I've clearly aged myself by 10 years.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, Johnny, but potentially. Maybe it's just having a baby's aged you by 10 years.
It definitely feels like it has. It feels like the last month has been a couple of years, and the last years have been a couple of decades. So I think I'm about 90.
Blimey.
That's how I feel in my soul right now. But I love my cardigan, so fuck the haters.
You love your cardigan, so it's a win-win, basically, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Great stuff. Yeah, I like the cardigan, but, mate. Don't listen to the haters, man.
Thanks, man. In response to that this comment, which was from Billy 0181, I did have the idea of starting a clothing line for dad homebrewers. So it would be waterproof shoes, trousers that you can ruin, and everybody's seen my paint-covered, ripped chinos. Probably a warm jumper, because you're probably brewing outside, and then obviously tortoise shell glasses, and maybe a koozie, and we could put that together as like a maybe Craft Beer Channel merch. It's like, get the full dad brew look.
Nice, I like it. There's a great Instagram account called Rad Dad, which is all kind of like dad humor and kind of like the culture that goes around bad dad jokes and sort of swearing, but not swearing. So saying like heck and stuff like that, and you know, sort of sayings like I'm just resting my eyes when, you know, having sleep. All that kind of like dad stuff that you remember being a kid. It's good. Rad Dad. I enjoy it a lot.
I'm going to give it a look.
Yeah.
If you want more cultural gems like that on our Patreon forum, which you can join from $2 a month, we have the Culture Share channel, which people are sharing stuff like that all the time. I think you should put that one in now. I need to give that a look, Bradders.
Yeah, I don't know if you could call Rad Dad big culture, but they've got things like, you know, t-shirts that say silly goose on them, which I quite like. Yeah, you silly goose.
And now I know what to get you for Christmas. I've missed the boat for this one, but that's me being a silly goose.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, cool. Well, we've got a question this week, a little hangover from 2021. We didn't get to this question last year, but it's a question from, was it Rasco or Disco?
Rasco. From
Rasco, of the Rasco and Disco Beer Review channel, and he's asking about bitters.
Hello, it is I, Rasco, of the Rasco and Disco Beer Review, with a cold, but I have a question. Yes, a question. So, last week I was on my way to see Dr. Mark Kermode live at the BFI. I stopped by the Waterloo Tap, and I came across a beer by Thornbridge. It was a Manchester style bitter. Now, what is a Manchester style bitter? Why is it different from other bitters? And when did this happen? If you could let me know and let the world know, much appreciated. Cheers.
So there we go. So firstly, I've got to commend the audio quality of your question. That's much appreciated. Yes. Usually it's not quite so professional sounding. But as a YouTuber, maybe you know about these things. So I must confess, I had to do some Googling for this one. I had to sort of dive in and have a little look about what a Manchester bitter might be. But the answer is quite simple. The answer is that these are beers that are inspired by the classic beer, Boddington's. Which might surprise some people, because Boddington's now is obviously seen as a really trashy, quite shitty bitter. It's in a can. I think it's nitrode, isn't it? It's got a widget.
Yeah, it's pretty
bland. But back when it was first released, which I think was in the early 70s, I want to say, and it was brewed by Strangeways Brewery. It was brewed at the Strangeways Brewery, which is Boddington's Brewery, and it was cult-like. It was everybody, you know, in Manchester was drinking it, and it was kind of a, you know, an example of regional brewing, a regional beer that was much loved and apparently very delicious, but also still very cheap, which is why it did so incredibly well, and why in the late 90s, I think, it was acquired by Whitbread. And then we have the classic tale of a big brewer coming in, buying a successful brand, and basically squeezing it dry. So they started shipping it everywhere in the UK, all over the world. I think they stopped doing it on cask when cask went into a little bit of decline. They sold like four times as much, but the beer itself was absolutely ruined. And then, of course, because the beer was absolutely ruined, as a brand, it died a death, and now nobody really likes it. So it's sort of a classic example of how you can take a wonderful regional bit of culture and bit of food history and piss all over it.
Yeah, it's a sad story, potentially. I do, one of my sort of early formative beer memories that is tied into sort of growing up in the 90s is watching the Boddington's advert of Mel Sykes as a sort of like a sexy ice cream lady in an ice cream van saying, would you like a flake in that, love? And she's pouring a pint of Boddington's that's very, very Mr. Whippy-esque with its foamy head. And it's you know, for me, that was like, it was sort of like when Britpop was big and like, you know, Cool Britannia, all this sort of rubbish stuff. And like Lad magazines. It's like real like Lad magazine culture. And for me, like that, in my formative years, I was like, that's quite an interesting advert, yeah, for obvious reasons. But
I think it was I think it was kind of caught up in the Mad Chester scene for a bit.
Yeah, like, yeah.
In the early and mid 90s, I think Boddington's was, you know, I don't think it was very good by them, but it was kind of ironically cool. A bit like, you know, drinking Red Stripe at a gig. It's like, it's kind of just what you do. And it sort of gained notoriety and got popular because of that, not because the beer was good. Which I think is usually the dead cat bounce, the dying breath of a brand when it's ironically enjoyed by hipsters in a certain scene.
I mean, I guess that's what Pabst Blue Ribbon is,
yes,
kind of that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's been another doing example that for like fucking years. I remember when I went to art school in London, I used to just drink for free. I used to go to lots of sort of exhibitions and sponsored events and stuff. I think I drank for free 3 or 4 nights a week, going to various things. And I can remember going to like White Cube Gallery in Hoxton Square, because I used to live in a council estate behind it. And they had so much money, they just, or sponsorship or whatever, they used to just dump like pallets of beer on the street outside the gallery. And you just go and like stand there and just drink loads of beer. And I remember it was like Rolling Rock at one point.
God, Rolling Rock, yeah.
Yeah, like Rolling Rock. I don't know if they ever had Pabst. I feel like it was more like Beck's for a while, because they did art stuff as well. It was like Beck's art campaign. Anyway, why am I referencing terrible beers, Johnny?
Also, that none of that was about Pabst, which is where I thought you were going to take that.
Well, no, but, I mean,
yes,
but I think
these
of
dying brands, yeah, that are
exactly
dumped for free and trying to
cash
in on another culture. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of what Manchester Bitter actually is now, so Boddington's, I think, was popular because it was very blonde, quite hoppy, and, you know, very, very good and flavourful, and had a lovely kind of hop aroma to it, which made it quite unique back then, I think. Interestingly, I believe that the Boddington's yeast is now one of those in lots of circulation for New England IPAs. And I think even maybe Conan yeast, which is the Alchemist yeast, might be a derivative of Boddington's. So, you know, not only has it birthed a kind of style of like blonde hoppy bitters, it's also had its part in, you know, the biggest revolution that craft beer has seen in sort of 2 decades, which is the New England IPA. So Boddington's has a lot of good to answer for, because also that beer, the Thornbridge beer that Rasko referenced, is delicious, as is Manchester Bitter by Marble, which is directly inspired by Boddington's. It is sort of an attempt to make a modern version of it.
Yeah, so that's pretty amazing then. So Boddington's, actually, I think I'm going to seek out, maybe not a can of Boddington's, but maybe I'll try and get some in a pub one time, just to
I don't know whether it's on cask now. I'd have to give that a Google. It's now, because Whitbread was bought by Interbrew. Interbrew was then bought by Interbrew then bought Anheuser-Busch to become AB InBev. And I don't know whether you can actually get it on cask anymore. Maybe it's only keg and can. If maybe that would be a video, going to try and find Boddington's on cask, or if you know where it is, do let us know.
Is there anything about Manchester Bitter other than being derived from Boddington's that makes it taste different from other bitters? Like, from my little bit of reading, it's bitterer. It has more of a hoppy, hop forward kind
Yeah,
of thing,
I think right? I think it's a hoppy blonde bitter.
Yeah,
which is actually where a lot of bitters have gone. Sort of in the time since, there's less of that kind of brown, red bitter, that kind of caramel or crystal malt kind of character, and more blondness to let the hops sing. So I think, even though we don't really call it Manchester Bitter, I think Manchester Bitter is actually what a lot of people would associate with modern bitter brewing. Blonde, hoppy, 30 to 40 IBUs maybe. I doubt Boddington's was quite that bitter. It would have been bitter comparatively. But yeah, I mean, it's the classic modern bitter, I think, the Manchester Bitter. We just don't really call it that.
Nice. Maybe we should then, eh?
Maybe we should. So, Rasko, I hope that helps you. Obviously, we've probably raised more questions than answers in answering that, and I'm definitely going to be delving a little bit more into it and seeing if I can get any Boddington's on cask. I think I think it's the same situation with Bass. I know you can get Bass on Cask, but that had a similar journey. So maybe if there's Bass out there on Cask, maybe there's Boddington somewhere.
I think, just before we move on from Bass, I think Bass is one of the most beautiful logos in beer from back in the day.
Oh, it's iconic, isn't it?
So yeah. Amazing with the red triangle, the lovely scripty font. It's really beautiful. Is it dead? Like, what's the deal with Bass these days?
It's not dead. It's regional and it's niche. I think there are lots of places up north where you can get it, and it's one of those things where it's a bit like Guinness. It's like you got to get it in the right pub, and then it will taste amazing. And I don't know how true that is. Maybe that's another video we could do for this sort of regional element. Go and, you know, track down these absolutely classic old British bitters and see what they're like today.
Mate, you can buy it in Asda. I don't think I've ever had a Bass ale. I don't think I have.
Really?
No, maybe I have when I was younger. But for me, sort of my appreciation of branding and everything, I don't know why I've never crossed paths with it. So maybe I'll pay a visit to my local Asda, because I can't see that being in many bottle shops in
I wouldn't
London.
Go and get it in bottle from Asda, mate. I'd go get it on cask in a good northern cask ale pub.
Well, we'll have to go there, like, then, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do it. We'll do a video tracking down Bass. It's probably
we
a better
could call
name
it
for
Bass Fishing.
Bass Fishing. Yeah, there we go. I knew there'd be something in there.
I used to have a Sega Dreamcast, right, which was an amazing console, very much ahead of its time. And I had a game my uncle bought me called Sega Bass Fishing.
Everybody had it. That was the game on the Dreamcast.
That is fucking awesome. I loved it. It was great. You had this crazy remote control that was literally like a fishing rod.
Yeah.
Quite well built, actually. You could really, like, throttle it when you went for it. And it was bloody awesome. I really enjoyed that. I sold it, and I regret selling the Sega Dreamcast. I really, really do.
Do you know what? I think that, you know, when we're a bit older and we've both had heart bypasses, we could take over the Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse Gone Fishing, but we'll do it on Sega Dreamcasts.
I love it. Yeah, we'll play it virtually, yeah. We'll be on, like, Nintendo Wii's and stuff and just saying, isn't this nice to not be in meta for a little bit?
To be in the real world.
We're looking at a
TV
screen in the real world rather than directly beamed into our brains.
Oh my god, Craft Beer Channel's gone dystopian, but I love that image. Right, that's all we've got time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the first Friday 5 p.m. of the year. Thank you so much for everybody that's filled in our survey, commented on our latest video. We start the year proper next week with our big in 2022, and then we've got some huge plans, homebrewing, travel wise, style explainer wise. We've got lots of great videos on the way, and of course we have the video of me and Brad and several parents building the brew shed, now known as the Brew Studio, coming soon. So love and beer, and we'll see you next week for a talk about the trends and the breweries making it big this year. Love and beer. The Bubble and Friday 5 p.m. podcast are brought to you by the nerds behind YouTube's Craft Beer Channel. You can watch over 400 mini documentaries at youtube.com/thecraftbeerchannel. And if you love what we do, support us via Patreon and get access to merchandise and our amazing Discord forum, a positive and welcoming space for everyone who loves beer, food, and homebrewing. Love and beer.